And so today we continue in the series on the book of Revelation. Today we are going into chapter 12. I'm sure you've all read it in the last week in preparation. And so we want to look at two foundational scriptures for this module. In fact, these two may be the foundational scriptures for the rest of the semester on this, rest of the series. Revelation 21, verse 7, God says, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." How wonderful. Doesn't that want you to be an overcomer? Yes. I know that we are overcomers because we are born again. Christ lives in us, and whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. But we also know we need to partner with God and overcome every challenge as they arise. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're determined to be here when Jesus returns. We're determined to be alive, and we're determined to remain true to the gospel of Jesus Christ and be here when Jesus returns. Amen?
Amen.
That's six of us who feel that way, right? Wonderful. Revelation 12:11. "And they overcame him," that's Satan, the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death." They love not their lives unto the death. Now, that does not mean they are martyrs. In fact, it is saying the exact opposite. It is saying they love their life so that they did not love their life so that they would die. They did not love their lives unto death. Because if you love your life, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. Listen carefully. There are four gospels. Gospel number one, gospel number two, gospel number three, and gospel number four. Four gospels. When I was a kid, I knew almost nothing about the Bible, but I knew a little ditty. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, put on your fork and eat with your hand. Not exactly scriptural, but at least I learned the four gospels. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad he's got a sense of humor. He puts up with me. He's got to have a sense of humor. He's like my wife. My wife puts up with me also. Thank you, Jesus, for my wife and for all you wonderful people who are listening to me. Now, in the four Gospels, there are not many topics, parables, miracles that are in all four. Listen to me carefully. In fact, the wonderful communion table, the Last Supper, is not in the Gospel of John. Which means in the Gospel, it's only told three times. But of course, it's also repeated in 1 Corinthians 11. So it is presented four times. Four times. Four, for presenting something, is a big number. When the Father says to Jesus, "Sit thou at my right hand till I make your enemy is your footstool," that's only said six times and a seven time in different words. And that's probably what the whole Bible is about. You can make a very big case that's what it's about. Now, do you know what else is said six times? "If you lose your life, in me you'll find it." If you seek to save your life, you lose it. If you find your life, you lose it. If you love your life, you lose it. Six times. What is God saying? He says, "I've called you to be my own. I've called you to die to yourself. Because in dying to yourself, my glory will flow through you. And you will live." Now, we're not talking about salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God. We're all heaven bound. We're all born again. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about being the overcomer to the end. If you seek to save your life, you will lose it. What does that mean? It means you won't be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Or shall we say, probably. But if you want to be alive and remain when Jesus returns, then you must lose your life in Christ. Because that's how we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And by losing our life in Him, loving not our lives. Because if you live carnally, see, people love their lives in this world. If you love your life in this world, it's a carnal love. Look at all these people who have, you know, all the money they have. What do they spend it on? Their flesh. What else can they spend it on? That's all they got. What they see is what they have. Look at this. Virgin Galactica, I guess it is. Is on the verge, I mean, the inching closer towards taking tourists into space. They're booked solid. At $250,000 a shot. For what? 3 or 4 minutes in space? Why are they doing that? Because they love their lives, and if you love your life, it's all carnal. There's nothing else to spend it on. You can't spend $1 million on your soul. You can't spend it on your spirit. You got to spend it on your flesh, and then a carnal soul will delight in the carnality of the flesh. So we overcome by losing our lives in Him. So a quick review. In Revelation 11, we saw the results of a treaty which allowed the temple to be rebuilt, apparently without the sacrificial courtyard. Which makes a lot of sense, since they won't be able to do, there's no need for them to do sacrifices, because Jesus was the ultimate and last sacrifice. And then we saw the prophecies for 1,203 score days, that's 1,260. And then the murder and the resurrection of the two witnesses. That's Revelation 11. And then it closed out with, and the kingdoms of this world are not the kingdoms of our Lord. So the key thing is, in terms of achievement, is the kingdom of the world, Revelation 11, 15, are now the kingdoms of our Lord. Look at this scripture from Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Think of Moses coming down from the mountain, spending time with God. He had to be wiser. And he was so shining so much, he had to put a mask over his face. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness, those who win souls are wise, is what the scriptures say. As the stars forever and ever. Bright as the stars forever and ever. Now, isn't that a wonderful description of the glorious church? A church that shines so much. Glorious church means full of glory. The glory of God floods the person's being, flooding every cell, organ, and system in their bodies, driving out all sickness, disease, infirmity, all demons, devils, the evil spirit, everything that's not of God. They're just flooded with the glory of God. For Romans 8:11 says, the same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and quickens, pumps life into your mortal flesh. So, we're going to look today at Revelation 12. We're going to start off with a man-child. And what I'm teaching, based on my current knowledge, is that the man-child is a representation, a name, of Israel's first fruit unto the Messiah. Revelation 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now I believe this woman represents Israel. 12 stars, one for each of the tribe of Israel. And she being with child, travailing birth, and pained to be delivered. Now the woman represents Israel, but not all of Israel. I believe it represents not the secular, ungodly, atheistic part of Israel, but it represents the Israelites, the people of Israel, the Jews today, who are trying their best to live according to what they know, which is the Old Testament. They're trying to live according to what it says that they should do. They have not yet been enlightened to the fact that the Messiah came once before, and that when he returns shall be the second time. When we were in Israel, one trip we were meeting with some person from the Knesset. I forget what his title was. Very nice man. And he was saying to us, you know, the only difference between born-again Christians and Jews are that when the Messiah comes back, we'll say to him, have you been here once before? And there's a lot of truth to what he's saying, okay? For the observant Jew, for the Jew who is living according to his conscience and his understanding of the Old Covenant. Now, Isaiah 66, verse 7, two scriptures here, two verses. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Interesting. Verse 8. This part is really quite famous. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Can a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now, you know, after the Holocaust and the terrible times of World War II, the United Nations voted, and by one vote, agreed to the nation of Israel to cede back to them the land that God had given them, at least part of it. So in one day, a nation sprung forth. And out of that nation, for the first time, a language that was dead came back to life. But when this was written, it's not very likely they were reading the early times about the United Nations. The concept of a nation being born at once was just, well, before it happened, was even today it was impossible. Who would have believed it? But notice this. It says, for as soon as Zion travailed, Zion being used here to mean the desire, the movement, the right of Jews to have our own nation and their own homeland, and to do whatever they can to have it and to protect it. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. That's in the past tense. Notice she brought forth her children after the travail. In fact, it was the travail in the World War II that resulted in Israel being a state. But in verse 7, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. They're not talking about the same thing. The first verse is talking about the first fruits unto the Messiah, the 144,000, whom we see were caught up to be with the Lord before the travail came. In fact, in the same chapter, we see them with the Lord at the beginning of chapter 14, and the rest of chapter 14 is about as sad as you want to find it, as you could find it. You don't want to find it sad at all, period. Let's go on reading. We'll come back to this. The great red dragon. Now, we know in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, that when Adam sinned, Satan became the god of this world. And that's covered very well. We've spent a lot of time on that. Luke 4, 5, and 6 shows the god of this world tempting Jesus with the kingdoms of the world, which had been given to him. Revelation 12, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. That's something to see. And that's a representation of Satan. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. When Lucifer sinned and was kicked out of heaven, or had left heaven before he sinned, couldn't go back to heaven, 1/3 of all the angels followed him. The tail end, they followed him. Tail representing the following. So they're cast down to the earth. Now this, remember, when Satan tempted Eve, he came on the earth as a serpent. Didn't come through the heavenlies, because the earth had been, authority and dominion over the earth had been given to Adam and Eve, to Adam, and by default to Eve. So he had to come within the scope of their authority, otherwise he would have been under God's authority. But God had given the authority and dominion to Adam. And it was Adam's job to protect the garden and to kick him out, kick out the Satan. And he didn't kick out the serpent. So he came on the earth, okay? And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So he's aware that this man-child is going to be born, and Satan is trying to destroy the man-child. So let's look a little bit at this this dragon. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit up on a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy. So blasphemy is very big, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the angel said unto me, wherefore did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. And here it tells you who the beast is. Verse 8, the beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. That's a description of what happens to Satan. The process is going to go on. Okay. He's going to be bound up for 1,000 years. Then he shall come out and be cast into the lake of fire. The man-child represents 144,000. This is my current understanding and my current teaching. Revelation 7, verse 3, an angel flying, speaking to the four angels who have the four winds, the four corners of the earth, controlling the winds over the earth. This is right after the end of chapter 6, where there is what I believe to be a nuclear explosion. Just affecting the winds and everything. And so the angel is saying to the four angels who control the wind, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So because of seal number 6, the events of seals number 6 that are shown there, which I believe to be a nuclear explosion, the winds are very dangerous to the earth. And they're being held back until the servants have been sealed. Verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Just as a side note, you might understand that the Jehovah Witnesses believe that only 144,000 people go to heaven. This 144,000 people. And they are the only Jehovah Witnesses who can receive communion. Maybe somebody, one of you, will be ministering to Jehovah Witnesses and may need to know that. 12 verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, reading that really fast, you might think, well, a man-child, that's Jesus is a man-child, he's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. But then, unless you're reading really fast, you must ask yourself the question, the child was caught up to God on his throne. Well, that didn't happen. He was not a child when he went up to God on his throne. And before he went up to God on his throne, he laid down his life and died for us and was resurrected. So it's not talking about Jesus. Revelation 2:26. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end. I would say the book of Revelation has to be the end he's talking about. To him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. So Jesus is saying, Jesus is making clear, he's not the only one that's going to rule with a rod of iron. All his kings are going to rule with a rod of iron. And he's made us kings and priests. It's up to us to rise up and partner to that promise of God. It's part of our salvation package, but we need to rise up to live it. And of course, the first place of kingship, the first place of exercising the rod of iron, is in our own flesh. We need to bring our flesh into obedience with what the Bible says we should do. Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead. So we see that they were going to be sealed in Revelation 7. We see a man-child is brought out and goes up to heaven in 12, and in 14 is 144,000 with Jesus. No place else do we see anybody else going up to heaven. We know whatever happened in the old covenant is an example for us. So what did we see in the old covenant? Well, Enoch didn't die. You spend so much time with God, God liked him and took him. That's a great example. Let's spend time with God. 1 hour a week doesn't begin to come close. Elijah went up. Both of them did not die. Therefore, we expect other people to go up. Jesus died and was resurrected. Nobody went over to lay hands on him and bring him back to life. He died. Spirit of God came into him. He was resurrected. Have we seen that? Yeah, in Revelation 11. The two witnesses are murdered, and in front of the whole world, they're dead for 3 days, 3.5 days. And then the spirit of life comes into them, and they're resurrected and go up to heaven. Everything that happens in the Old Testament happens in the New. In the Old Testament, we see the prophet bringing on fire to destroy those that are trying to take him to be killed. And what do we see? Same thing in Revelation 11. And so we see in Revelation 14, 144,000. Verse 3. And no man could learn the song that they were singing, but the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. So we see the man-child go up, and we see 144,000 redeemed from the earth. Verse 4. These were redeemed from among men. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. So, that's the sequence of events that pretty clearly says to me the 144,000 is the man-child being taken up to heaven. This is not the rapture. This is like Elijah going up. This is like Enoch going up. No, they're all men. So why the child? Because they've just been born again. Sealing is a process of being born again. They've just accepted Jesus as the Messiah. They're born again. So yes, in physical bodies, they're men. But inside, they're babies, they're children. They don't know very much. All they know is they love God, and they've been serving God as observant Jews, and this realization came that Jesus is the Messiah, and they take up the heaven as first fruits. But they're children. They don't know warfare. They haven't been sitting at ABC for 17 years or 17 days. So, we had a false peace for 3.5 years. We saw the peace treaty or the effects of the peace treaty in Revelation 11. Verse 3 says, I'll give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. Clothed in sackcloth. 11 verse 2. The Gentiles shall tread underfoot the holy city 42 months. That's 3.5 years. So while the two prophets are prophesying, the Gentiles are in charge of the city. I believe something like the United Nations will be in charge of maintaining the peace treaty. Now, after the 3.5 years, it's going to be followed by the abomination of desolation. And we'll see what that is. I believe the first step in the breaking of that treaty is the trying to kill the 144,000 Jews who've just accepted Jesus as Messiah. Breaking of the treaty. Daniel 9:27 from the ASV Bible, American Standard Version. And he, that is the Antichrist, he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. And Bible students agree the week means 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And upon the wings of abominations shall come one that makes desolate, even unto the full end. And that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. So what is it saying? It's saying for 3.5 years, remember the scripture says, when you see peace and safety, then that's when that's when the terrible times will come. Okay? Peace and safety. So for 3.5 years, they're going to have, many people will think it's peace and safety, but not the wise, not the people who are living the word. And so in the midst of that time, 3.5 weeks, this person who is in charge, which I believe is the Antichrist, moving into his office, will break the treaty. In breaking the treaty with the abominations, he will render them desolate, separated from God. The ones who've been supporting. Because when the treaty is approved, just as it is today, there are people in Israel today who are willing to give up land for peace. And there'll be people here agreeing to the treaty for peace. Not only giving up land, but giving up their sovereignty, because they'll be overrun by Gentiles for 3.5 years. But there will be ones who will object. Those who are observant of the scripture will say, God gave us this land, we can't give it up. And we can't have Gentiles running the place. And so they're separating into two groups. And we'll see the effects of what happens to the two groups in Revelation chapter 14. But of the group that is saying, no, you can't do this, and objecting, out of that comes 144,000. And the 144,000 go up to heaven. But even before that happens, Satan is going to try to deal with and destroy that part of Israel, the observant Jews, the observant Israel, try to destroy them before the 144,000 is raised up. And that will be, I believe, the breaking of the treaty, or the beginning of the breaking of the treaty. Verse 5, Revelation 12, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her, there 1,203 squares there. 1260, the same 1260. But the same number, but not the same time period. This 1260 is coming after chapter 11. After chapter 11 says, the kingdoms of the world and all the kingdom of the Lord, then comes another 1260, and that's this 1260. So there's 1260 days before and 1260 days after. Tribulation for 3.5 years. Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded, and this deadly wound was healed, speaking about Antichrist, and all the world wandered after the beast. So this person with the who commits the abomination of desolation, this person who is in charge of the Gentiles overseeing Israel, this person will be killed or appear to be killed. And you can see why. I mean, here's somebody who is committing abominations in the temple. You can see why people might want to take him out. But then his wound was healed. And here his way starts to come into the power as the Antichrist. And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13:5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months here, 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, he's going to continue in his power. Verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Revelation 13, verse 7. And was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations. All this we will discuss in more detail when we get to Revelation chapter 13. But I want you to show, I want you to see the time frames here. 1260 before the treaty is broken, there's 3.5 years where the Gentiles have control over the city. There's 1260 days where the prophets are prophesying. And then after 1260 days where the observant Jews, as I'm describing them, are in hiding, and then 3.5 years where same 3.5 years where they're in hiding, this person is going wild. What is blasphemy and the things he's doing? Here's a New Testament warning from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together with him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Don't get panicked if the day of Christ draws close. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Boy, there's a lot in here. He's saying the day of Christ shall not come first until the man of sin be revealed. Now we know how to recognize him. The man of sin shall be revealed. Says there's a falling away first. Well, we know that the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, has been falling away, and we're in the middle of the great apostasy, a falling away from the gospel. But there's more to it here, because he's talking specifically to the Jews here. And they're going to have a falling away also. And the falling away will be primarily, well, the big part of it will be when they turn their back on the scriptures to accept this peace treaty. Because fear will have risen up so much that to get rid of the fear, they're going to accept a treaty which not only contradicts God's word and God's promise and what God has done, not only contradicts that, but they've been specifically told in the scriptures, it's coming, don't do it. So there's a falling away in two places. And that falling away is very important to comprehend and see as we go into chapters 14. Well, primarily chapter 14. Otherwise, you're going to be very confused as to what's happening in 14. So there's a falling away. Now let's go back to verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. We see it's talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord. But look at what it says, and our gathering together with him. See, for those who believe in a pre-trib, by the time the day of the Lord comes as they're defining it, the day when Jesus returns to rid the earth of the enemy, by the time that day comes, according to the pre-tribulation believers, they are already in heaven. They've been raptured before. There's a rapture specified, the catching away specified in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 and 17, where they're caught up. Pre-tribs believe that's before this date's talking about here. But if so, how come it says, or gathering together with him in the context of the day of the Lord? Because the way it's really going to happen is they're going to be caught up together with him. They're going to meet him, welcome back the conquering hero, turn around and come back to earth to deal with the enemy. That's why we gather together with him. So, comes a falling away, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, all that is worship, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Now, this is the abomination of desolation. For this to come to pass, Israel needs a treaty to rebuild the temple, because you can't sit at the temple if there's no temple. And it's clearly who he'll be. He's the one that's trying to kill off the observant Jews. He'll be the one who's in charge of overseeing the peace treaty with the Gentiles treading down the holy city for 3.5 years. He'll be the one blaspheming, and he'll be the one sitting in the temple saying, I'm God. I don't think we need any more signs than that. Old Testament warnings, Daniel 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was up on the waters of the river. This is an angel. When he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him that lived forever and ever, that it shall be for a time. Time is just twice a time and a half. For 3.5 years. That for 3.5 years, and wait, by the way, it's talking about the he refers to the Antichrist. If you go back to Daniel 11, you'll see that. When he, the Antichrist, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So once he takes over, he's going to go after Israel. First, after the observant Jews who are fighting him, resisting, and then all the Jews, and the power of Israel will be broken. The power of the holy people, God's people, will be broken. All these things should be finished. That's when Jesus returns. Daniel 12, verse 8. Daniel asked a good question. When shall be the end of these things? And the angel says, the words are shut up and closed up, and sealed to the time of the end. Well, these are the times of the end, and God is opening them. Listen to this. From Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly. Look at this. He's saying the wicked are doing wickedly, but while the wicked are doing wickedly, many shall be purified and made white and tried. What a wonderful definition of the glorious church. That is a glorious church. That as the dark gets darker, the church gets brighter and more shining and more powerful. Many shall be purified. Now you know why we've been cleansing you guys for the last 8-10 years. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, And none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. The wise shall understand. Daniel 12 verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, because the temple has been reinstated, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there should be 1,290 days. 1,290 days. Not 1260, but 1290. Now, I believe what's happening here is that the Antichrist will terminate this daily sacrifice, and it's not clear to me what the daily sacrifice is at this point in time. The reference to continual burnt offering, the daily sacrifice, referred to the sacrifice on an ongoing basis every day of animals, which had to be killed in the courtyard in the sacrificial area, which they haven't got. So either they're sacrificing it elsewhere and then burning it at the door of the temple, or they had the courtyard for a point and then it's done away with. It's not clear. It could be either one. But it could also refer to that which is in the holy place, which is the candlestick, which is burning. Whatever it is, it's going to cease. And I believe that will cease 30 days before the Antichrist goes after the observant Jews. And from that point on, we'll be 1260. This is my belief. The Lord shows me something differently, I continue to believe that. So the 1260 and the 1290 ends up at the same place as the 1260. It just starts 30 days earlier. There's a 30-day notice. That in that 30 days, the Jews have 30 days to get out of town. Daniel 12:11 from the ASV. From that time that the continually burnt offering shall be taken away, and not until, it's not from A to B, it's and, that the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up. So from the time the burnt offering is terminated, and he proclaims that he's God, there should be 1,290 days. Now listen to this. Blessed is he that waits and come to the 1,335 days. So we have 45 days here, right? 45 days. So what is it saying? It's saying the Israel in hiding is 1260. I'm saying there's 30 days before it starts in 1260. But after that comes another 45 days. And we'll look at that more as time goes on. You can pray and ask the Lord, what do you think it means? So war in heaven. The prophecy of Jesus, Luke 10:17. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. That's still true today. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This is a prophetic scripture. He doesn't mean the word heaven is used, the same word is used for two different things. To refer to the third heaven and to refer to the first heaven, the heavenlies. He's saying he's seen Satan as lightning fall from the heavenlies to the earth. It's a prophetic scripture which we're about to see come into being. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So war in the heavens. Revelation 11:14. The second war is past, and behold, the third war comes quickly. Revelation 11:15. And the seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. Remember that after every war, there is a wonderful thing that happens for the kingdom of God. The first war is geared towards those who are not his servants. At the end of the second war, the kingdom of the world have become the kingdom of our Lord. Right after the seventh trumpet. And we come here now to the third woe. Revelation 12 verse 7. So in 11, the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdom of our Lord. Now Revelation 12 verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not. Neither was there place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is the heavenlies being purged of the evil of demons, devil, evil spirit, and Satan. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Now he's not talking about the third heaven where God lives, that's referenced in 2 Corinthians. He's talking about the heavenlies that now has power in the heavenlies. Because before he didn't have it. Before he functioned under Genesis 1:26 and 1:28 with power over the earth and everything that moves on it, except people. But after his resurrection, he had the power in the heavenlies because they defeated Satan. So before that, the heavenlies was a place of war. Jesus had the power. But just like you and I can have something, it doesn't help us unless we partner with God to bring it into being. The same thing is here. Is that he had the power over heaven, but Satan had not yet been physically, spiritually removed from heaven. Here is where Satan is removed from heaven. He's being cast down to the earth. Revelation 12 verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying to heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Why is that? Because Satan has been cast down from heaven. It's a demonstration of all that. It's a demonstration of salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God. And the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Accuse them by attacking them on the word of God. You're breaking the word of God, I can attack you. But now he's cast onto the earth. Verse 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the dead. Once he's down, how are you going to manage when Satan is on the earth? When his time is short? By living for God. By living for God. By making up your mind, you're going to be part of the church without spot or wrinkle. By bringing your body under control. And by living for Jesus, let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you. By believing the promise of God. Psalm 23, Psalm 91. Believing everything God's teached. God has taught us. Believe it and live it. Don't love your life, love Jesus. That's how we're going to do it. So it's cast onto the earth. And now we come to woe to the inhabitants of the earth. In Revelation 8:13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the heavens saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. So we looked at woe one, we looked at woe two. The first woe, the locust. Woe two is after all the things that happened. War, the two witnesses, prophecies, murder and resurrection. And then second woe comes to an end. And then the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. So the third woe. Revelation 12. I've broken it into part A and part B. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Imagine this. Here is coming a woe, and there's rejoicing. Well, if we looked at the other woes, we see there's reason to rejoice. This is the cause of great rejoicing for the heavens and they that dwell in them. Remember, we're in this earth, but we're not of this earth. We're simply ambassadors of heaven and earth. So we are here as strangers in a strange land. We are of heaven. Well, God is in control of the first heaven, the heavens are on the earth. That's cause for rejoicing. You remember when Daniel prayed and God sent an angel with the answer? It took 21 days for the angel to arrive. Why? Because he had to fight through the princes of the air for 21 days. That no longer is going to happen because those princes are now cast down to the earth. It's a really major deal. It is what it's all about. First, God purges the heavens, the heavenless. Then he purges the earth. And then we shall be with Jesus forever. That's the same thing he did with the promised land. It's purged. So, Revelation 12, part B. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's woe to the inhabitants of the earth. It's like woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants. Yeah, but we're not inhabitants. We are visitors. We're in this earth, but not of the earth. As we looked at the opening of the seals and the trumpets, and at the woes, we see they're all moving man to a place where there's a cause for rejoicing. The first woe, the locust, could only harm the ungodly, not the believers. The second woe, which goes a long distance from the army all the way through to Revelation 11, 14, shows all the things that are happening that are moving towards that point when Revelation 11, 15, it declares the kingdom of the world and now the kingdom of God. So the woes are geared towards the ungodly. They are, in general, localized, and in general, are moving the earth towards the purging where we can replenish it with children of God. Specifically, after the second war, the kingdoms of the world are transferred. So we'd expect something really good from the third war, along the same vein. And that's what really happens, with an exception. The exception being really a great tribulation. The point I'm saying is, the purpose of it is worth rejoicing about. Cleansing the heavens is a time to rejoice. But the effect of cleansing the heavens does result in calamities upon certain peoples, and in particular upon the Jews and the Christians who live in that area. So back to Revelation 12, verse B. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down upon you, having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. Daniel 12, 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of the people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Notice it says, never was since there was a nation. Not just the world, it says the nation. To that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. See, there's no way anybody can read this and think it applies to the destruction of Jerusalem. The beginning of major persecution. So, Satan has been cast onto the earth. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, let's look at it at a high level, okay? 11, the kingdoms of the world are transferred. 12, Satan is cast out of the heavens. And now he starts to persecute on the earth Christians and Jews. Verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time, times, and a half a time. Before it says 1260 days, is 3.5 years. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out. And the dragon was angry with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. The remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This, I believe, is referring to the Messianic Jews. We say primarily the Messianic Jews, okay? Directed from Jesus. Matthew 24:15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever read it, let him understand. Because as we draw close, knowledge is revelation, knowledge abounds. God is teaching us. Verse 16. Then let him which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Notice it's talking about the abomination of desolation in the temple. That is the time of challenges since the nation existed. Notice here it's saying, let them in Judea. Again, it's all Israel, Israel, Israel. I think the church has lost track of the fact that the Jews were, are, and will always be God's chosen people. We are grafted into the family of Abraham. We tend to apply a lot of the scriptures more to the Gentile church than we do to the Jewish church, if you will. Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything of the house. Neither let them which is in the field return back to take the clothes. In other words, as soon as you see this man stand in the temple and declare that he's God, take off. Because Pastor Joshua might be wrong about the 30-day warning. The 30 days may come at the end. Okay? So you take off, and 30 days is not a lot of time to get lost. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, nor on the Sabbath. With babies, pregnant, and winter, we understand. Who wants to flee their home during the Sabbath? But neither on the Sabbath day. Why the Sabbath day? Because the observant Jew will not travel on the Sabbath day. Which tells you he is talking about the observant Jew. Which tells you the falling away has occurred. Israel is split into observant Jews and everybody else. Remember when the Israelis attacked Entebbe to get back the people, the hijacked plane? The raid almost never came into being because a member of the Knesset who had approved it would not come to approve it because he had to travel in the Sabbath. So they had to wait on him. Matthew 24:21. For there shall be great tribulation. This is where the expression comes from. Great tribulation. Such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. In the book of Revelation, the Great Tribulation, in chapter 7, referring to the martyrs from chapter 6. But the word tribulation is also the word persecution. It's great persecution. Multiple great persecution. But this one here specifically is referring to what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14. And notice, again, it appears to be localized. That's not to say it's not going to affect people around the world. We are already in a world war. We are already in a world war against terrorism. Terrorism has affected every country on earth. Make no mistake, we are in a world war. There is already great tribulation on earth. But this is specific to those who are in Israel. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. That means it's going to be worse than what happened during World War II, which is hard to imagine. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. If you think of the worldwide tribulation, then the elect will include also the believers. But if you see it as primarily localized to Israel, which is what you'll see in chapter 14, then the elect here are the observant Jews. For the sake of the observant Jews, the time shall be shortened. I know I covered a lot in a short time. I don't expect you to get it all, but I do expect you to go back over it on your own and check me and read the scriptures and pray it. So pray that I can spend more time in prayer. I'd appreciate that. And you also spend a lot of time in prayer. Okay, God bless you for your time, and really do go over back the outline and research it and check it and pray about it. It's crucial. I think it's crucial to the world that we understand and start to implement things that we need to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, thank you.